This episode of The Podcats is sponsored by the O-Line Sports Grill at Hurstbourne and Westport Road. Make O-Line your home for Wildcat basketball when you can't be at the game. For a free appetizer, text O-Line to 72727.
Opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production.
Here's how you count to eight. 3, 2, 1. And for the eighth time, college basketball's national championship trophy is coming home to Kentucky. C-A-T-S. Champs, champs, champs.
Oh, it's a sea of blue. It's beautiful.
It's awesome.
Oh my gosh, they're crazy. They're the most dedicated fans I've ever seen.
Going blue!
C-A-T-S.
Go Kessler.
Big Blue Nation, show your Wildcat pride and band together with the Podcats. All the UK propaganda you can handle.
Welcome into another edition of the Podcats. I'm Kenny Colston. Alongside me, as always, is Chris Littrell.
Hello, Big Blue Nation, and hello, Indiana Hoosier Hater Nation.
The Hater Nation?
Oh my God!
Is it bad for you up there? I forget. I forget. We don't talk about this enough, but you're from Indiana, so I have to deal with crappy Louisville fans, and apparently you have to deal with crappy IU fans, and you've been hearing it.
They are the absolute worst. They cannot be embarrassing themselves more. It is hilarious. I mean, to get under their skin is so easy right now. I am reveling in it. It is delightful. It is absolutely delightful. I haven't checked the IU message boards yet today, but I'm sure that it is in full meltdown mode.
Well, that's fantastic because they could only melt down for one reason, and that's because Kentucky once again has won another game. I guess we need to give a quick shout out here to the O-Line Sports Grill for sponsoring us.
And, oh yeah.
Of course, if you don't subscribe yet on iTunes or Stitcher Radio, then
there's no hope for you by now.
Right, we've got nothing for you. Go home. That's my Jeff Probst impression. Yeah, I don't know if you watch Survivor. So if you don't, I'm going to extinguish your torch right now. I've got nothing for you. Continue on. If you do not subscribe to us on iTunes or Stitcher Radio, so go ahead and do that. We would appreciate it. Thanks again to the guys at O-Line Sports Grill. Now let's talk about the main event right now, and the main event to me is the Cats are in the national championship game against pretty much all odds. I mean,
is this actually happening?
I think it is. I keep waking up after these, and I think it's a dream. I'm still waiting to wake up from the dream. I don't know what's going to happen. This is just, Kentucky is just finding a way to win these games that are unreal. It's really hard for me to put into words. It just somehow we're always just down a couple points there at the end, and teams let Aaron Harrison get the ball, and what do you know? He just drains that three, and it's ball game. Once again, Wisconsin, that's pretty much, there's a lot of things that happen from tip-off until the last 6 seconds of the game. But at the end of the day, what really matters is Kentucky's down, two with 6 seconds left, and Wisconsin allows Aaron Harrison to get the ball at the top of the key. And I don't remember the defender's name right now, but basically
it was the white guy.
Well, yes, that's all of Wisconsin. That's their entire team. Wisconsin's entire team is that white guy.
Yeah, I can't remember which one it was either. It's, just a low-hanging fruit racial joke there.
There you go. Well, we appreciate it. I guess. I don't know if we appreciate racial jokes. But long story short, this defender does the exact opposite of what Louisville did, what Michigan did, what all these other teams did against Kentucky, and that is, hey, when Aaron Harrison got the ball, they actually took a step towards him, put a hand in his face, and he still had the balls to nail the shot. The Wisconsin defender, I guess they were worried about a drive, which is understandable, but he actually takes a step back. And in that step back, I don't know if you've seen the video, but there's been like a video circulating, and the defender takes a step back, and Andrew, the point guard, basically yells at his brother to shoot. He gets that much of a window. and he drains it once again with a guy in his face. I mean, the Wisconsin defender recovers, puts a hand in his face. And I don't know if you've seen the photo or not, Chris, but basically Aaron hit that shot against Wisconsin to send them to the title game pretty much the same shot as the Michigan game.
Yeah, oh, from the exact same spot on the court.
Exact same spot. And so it's been a whirlwind, you know, and I'd just like to get your thoughts on the game here.
Okay, I'll take you from start to finish in about 30 seconds here. I was going crazy the entire game. I felt like at the beginning of the game, we should have been up by 10 points on those guys before they even knew what hit them. They were letting Kentucky waltz to the basket. I mean, they were giving no resistance whatsoever to the drive on the first two or three possessions of the game. I wondered if they were maybe just terrified of getting in foul trouble. And Bo Ryan just said, if they drive it to the hoop, let them have it. I didn't think that was a coaching strategy that made sense, but that's definitely what it seemed like was going on. Then they kind of figured us out a little bit. And, you know, like all the rest of these games, this is going to take longer than 30 seconds, by the way. Like the rest of these games, you know, we kind of played from behind. Second half, you know, we went on that little blitzkrieg there to start the half. And for the first time in three or four games, I started to think, you know what? I think we might just bury these guys and break them here and maybe just kind of coast through the rest of this game. But poor shot selection. I mean, the shot at the end was insanity. And I mean, I can't believe that this keeps happening over and over again. But the Harrisons were, in my estimation, a little bit out of control last night, taking it to the rim and throwing up some stuff that just wasn't even coming close. I think they were just banking on the fact that they were going to get fouled. Just some out of control shots close to the you know, 2 foot shot that just doesn't even draw iron. They weren't the only ones. James Young did it a couple times as well. But I thought just the most crazy, ironic thing about this game was the fact that Wisconsin was just destroying us at the free throw line, but the one free throw that they missed in that game was the one that killed them. I mean, it's just one of those things where when the game's over and you go back and you think about how the game played out, that little stat right there, or whatever you want to call it, 19 of 20 from the free throw stripe, but the one they missed was the one that mattered the most.
Well, that's just fate to me. That's where I think I realized that it was like, this is almost fate, destiny, whatever word you want to use, that this team, because, you know, to make a run. Well, hold on. Let's talk about those free throws there for a second, because one, that guy should have never been at the foul line. He traveled, and two, it wasn't really a foul. He did not get murdered.
It doesn't surprise me that the foul was called, though. I mean, but I agree with you.
I mean, I am of the mindset that you don't call anything ticky-tack. Like, you really got to kill a guy to call a foul that late in the game. That's just my mindset.
This is the wrong NCAA tournament for you, then, because they are blowing the whistle like crazy at the end of these games.
I know. I don't think you should do that. I mean, unless it's just egregious. But anyways, turns out not doesn't matter, but yes, traveled excessively. I mean, he switched his pivot foot like 4 times, which that's a travel. So anyways, turns out didn't matter in the end. Missing that one free throw was, you know, that's where it turned it on for me. And I think at this point, this is fate for this team. Now, you know, if you're a UConn fan, you're probably saying the same thing, because they steamrolled Florida. I mean, they absolutely had Florida's number this year.
Yep.
And so, very interesting game. You know, I think you talked about the Harrison twins just throwing stuff up. I think we were lucky that Poitras had the breakout game that Calipari predicted for him. I think, what was it, like 8 points, 7 rebounds?
8 and 6 or 8 and 7, yeah. Something like that.
You had, you know, Lee and Dakari were cleaning up on the boards. Randall had a good game as well.
James Young was outstanding.
So it was interesting. I mean, Kentucky didn't play their best game by far. This was not the best game Kentucky's played this tournament. But they pulled it out again. And, you know, to win the NCAA tournament, being good helps. Don't get me wrong. That team in 2012 was good. A lot of NCAA champions are good. And this Kentucky team is good. But you have to have a healthy dose of luck, too. And I think Kentucky's had more than a healthy dose of luck. I mean, some of these buzzer beater shots. And then again last night, the one missed free throw. And then Aaron just once again hitting that shot. Before we taped, I saw Rex Chapman, who did the quote-unquote homer. I don't know yes. which one you listened to. I watched
Rex and Rob Bromley.
Okay. Well, see, I was in a bar, and I couldn't hear anything other than scream. So, but Rex was on Twitter, and he was saying he kind of nudged Rob Bromley when Aaron put that shot up as kind of like, you know, the Cats had a good run. That's not going in. Ball game. Because he said it was such a – so far off. The shot was so far off that he absolutely didn't – think it was going to go in. So that's it goes back to my luck thing. I mean, you've got this shot that doesn't even look like the guy who's sitting courtside saying that's not going in.
Oh, it didn't look like it was going in, you know, on TV either.
Well, and I felt that way about the Michigan shot. I mean, that Michigan shot just clanked the side of the rim, and you know, I didn't know that was going in. Jim Nance thought it was blocked.
Yeah.
So I mean, that just shows you a healthy dose of luck. I mean, this team is good. Don't get me wrong. They also had a lot of bad breaks during the season. I mean, they had some losses they deserved, but they also had, you know, that one time where the shot wouldn't fall or the free throw wouldn't fall or the ball bounced the other way or something like that. And now they're getting those breaks. I just hope, I hate to say this, but I just hope they haven't used up all of their good karma. You got one more game left.
Yeah, I've been saying that for the last four games, so...
So
yeah, you're right. I mean, and when it comes to luck, you know, there's an old saying about how you make your luck. You know, you make your good luck. Having good luck, a lot of that is putting yourself in the position to get lucky. You know, and I think Kentucky's doing that now. They're going after those loose balls. I mean, Poitras is out there hustling. Rex Chapman last night talked about Calipari putting the heart monitor on Poitras in practice. Just to show him how inactive he was being when he was out there playing. Diving for the loose ball, I'm talking about Poitras again. The ball's going out of bounds, and Kaminsky or whatever his name is tried to throw it off of Poitras, and Alex made the big play, keeping the ball in bounds, and then goes down and gets the lob pass that he kind of had to kiss off the glass there. I mean, those are two lucky plays, but hustle has a lot to do with that. So I think this team has finally, you know, turned that corner where now they understand that to get lucky, you got to put yourself in that position to take advantage of those situations. And they've been doing that. I mean, they are charmed. There's no doubt about it.
It's been very, very, very interesting. You know, the last couple of shows that we've done, I think we've just been in awe. We've talked about these games, so we've kind of been in awe. And now that the Cats are in the championship game, I think we need to put in, you know, we hear all this about this tweak and that tweak, and you know, no one ever knows the tweak. And Cal says everyone in the media is too dumb to figure it out, which is, you know, that's just Cal ripping on the media, which he loves to do. But, you know, the one thing that I think has been overlooked is the fact that Kentucky is playing really, really good defense. And I don't know if that's what the tweak is or not, but, I mean, they are shutting guys down. Kaminsky was basically ineffective.
Yeah, shocked me. Absolutely shocked.
Right. Well, they, I mean, and I'm trying to think, you know, the Stakis guy for Michigan went off, but you got almost nothing from Glenn Robinson III in the Michigan game.
Yeah.
Neutralized their big guy as well. In the Louisville game, you know, Hancock went off. Russ got his points, but they weren't easy. You know what I'm saying? There's been a commitment to defense, and I don't know that they had that commitment. I know these games are still in the 70s, so don't misunderstand me that I'm saying this is like the best defensive team in the nation. They're not, but they're better defensively. I think that may have been the biggest change. I don't know if that's the tweak or not, but for some reason they've committed to defense in this tournament, and that's been the key in my mind. Now that I've been able to actually digest, you know, digest some of this, it just hit me today. Yes, they've been extremely clutch and efficient down the stretch on offense, and that's been great, and they've hit really big shots. But what's not being talked about is the fact that this has turned into quite a defensive team, and it's not being talked about because you don't have Willie in there swatting all these shots or anything like that, but they're just making it difficult for these guys to get shots off, for opponents to get shots off. They're making it difficult for these guys to operate, and they're just cleaning up the offensive and defensive boards. And I think that's been not pointed out enough nationally how improved Kentucky has been defensively.
Yeah, you're right, especially when you take into account the fact that, I mean, look at the last two teams that they've beaten, Michigan and Wisconsin, John Beilein and Bo Ryan. I mean, those guys are great coaches, offensive minds. Their teams are extremely disciplined. You know, they run an offense. Wisconsin was running a very precise offense, motion offense, passing game last night. So to play as well as they have defensively against those two teams that are so well coached, so disciplined, and fairly veteran teams, yeah, that does say a lot about the improvements that the Cats have made defensively. And another guy that I want to mention again, we've talked about him a couple of times here during the tournament, Dominique Hawkins continues to give this team great minutes off the bench defensively. And not just defensively. Last night actually scored 2 points, taking it to the basket. But can't say enough about that guy coming off the bench and playing solid defense, being involved in this run. And I mean, he has really, you know, Marcus Lee's emergence here the last couple games probably going to overshadow Dominic a little bit. And, you know, these big shots that we're making to win these games. But, you know, in this tourney run, Dominic Hawkins is a guy that has also emerged on this team to be that guy that Calipari can stick in the game and say, see that guy right there? Guard him. And I think that you can't say enough about the contribution that he's made these last two or three games defensively.
Yeah, the fact that when he made that drive to the hoop, I was in shock because this is a guy who's,
yeah,
for most of the season, has shown any reluctance to drive or be an offensive threat. So that was just unreal.
Yeah.
And we're going to find out. I'm glad that you brought that up because I want to talk briefly about obviously the championship game that's Monday night. We're taping this Sunday night. And just a little bit of a programming note, if I have to say if, I'm not going to say when because I, you know, being superstitious, but if Kentucky wins Monday night, we will be doing another edition of the podcast for later in the week. Just a
very special podcast.
A very special. If we win, just everyone in the city and the Commonwealth, just fill the Louisville.am recording studio. And we'll just go nuts. It'll be like a call-in show. You just, okay, here's your 5 minutes. Say what you want to say. Thank you for calling in. And we'll just leave the door open, and we'll just rotate people in. But anyways, it's if Kentucky wins, I think it's going to be – Hawkins is going to have to play an essential role because I could see the Twins getting into somewhat of foul trouble with Boatwright and Napier. Those guys are playing amazing defense right now. They're dead-eye shooters. And you may see, you may have to have some Hawkins like you had in the Louisville game.
Yeah.
The good news is that unlike, in Louisville or some of these other games where he's facing, you know, Hawkins is like what, 6'1", maybe on a good day?
Yeah. 5'11", 6', something
right,
like that.
Something like that. Whereas the Twins are 6'5", you know, Connecticut's undersized, so it would be okay. But Hawkins, you may see some Hawkins. Maybe a lot more than what we're used to in these last couple games because, like I said, Napier and Boatwright are clearly the guys for them. I mean, Connecticut does not have a low post game at all. And despite that, Cal's saying the guy to watch tomorrow is James Young. You know, he's doing his little hype thing. And, you know, James
25
Young.
25 points.
Right. Well, I was going to say a quiet tournament, and that's really not fair because he's been there. A lot of times Young has started the game off for this team, and then you don't see much of him when the Twins take over.
Right.
But I could see that at the wing position. You know, what I hope is that the Twins duel themselves to a draw, basically offensive and defensively, with Boatwright and Napier, And then, you know, I expect UConn to play some sort of zone to try to limit the inside, you know, do something funky for the inside. So James Young might be the guy this time. Lord knows.
It'll give them the most difficult matchup problem.
Right. Lord knows that Aaron Harrison needs a rest. I mean, God love the kid.
Yeah.
I don't know how many more buzzer beaters he's got in his arsenal. I hope maybe one, at least one, I hope. But so it should be an interesting game. I'm going to be honest with you. I haven't broke down Connecticut game film. You know, I was out till, you know, three. I was up till three. Coach Cal said he was up till at 1 o'clock. He wanted to go to bed and push through and watch tape till 3:30. And I was up till three as well, but I was not watching.
So
game
was
time.
I.
So I have not watched it. The best thing I can tell you about this is the UConn team is that Napier is legitimate. Boatwright is legitimate. Great shooters. Great players. But Louisville knocked the socks off these guys three times, and we beat Louisville twice. That's not how basketball works, you know. Florida beat us three times and got smoked by UConn twice. So that's, you know, there's not a direct correlation. But I want to get your thoughts on how you think this game will go.
Well, I think that of all the teams that Kentucky will – play in this tournament, UConn is probably the one that most mirrors Kentucky's style. They like to get up and down the court. They get a little out of control at times. You know, guard play is crucial for them. Not so much the case for Kentucky. I think that if we make a concerted effort to pound the ball inside, we should be able to win this game. And we got away from that last night. I mean, I still think, like I said at the beginning of the show, we should have been up by 10 points on those guys at halftime last night if we just pounded the ball inside. We got away from it. We let the Twins dictate way too much of the offense. I think if Cal can get to these guys and make sure that they make the effort to get Randall off early, get Dakari involved, get Poitras involved, start beating them on the boards like we can. That, I think, is our key to victory. And I really think that we have a really good shot of winning as long as we can take advantage of that. If we get into an up and down game with these guys, just one of those crazy junkyard dog kind of games, where it's just up and down, sloppy. I think that's where we're going to maybe see the team that can best match up with us if in that kind of game. I think we just need to be real patient on offense, which we had some trouble doing last night, and, you know, play our game, which is pounding them down low. I don't think DeAndre Daniels and Nils Giffey can stop us in the paint. And I don't underestimate those guys either by any means. But I think just we are so dominant, you know, inside that if we just play that game, I think we can handle it.
Yeah, it should be interesting. You know, you can do any number of scouting, and this is not to diminish you, but, you know, I think once you get to the championship game, I mean, yes, there's a scouting report. There's this guy likes this tendencies. This is what they do. But you almost have to throw it out the window. I mean, it becomes such a moment that you just – anyone could go off. Things could change.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting. I mean, obviously no one had Kentucky and UConn in this final game. You might have had Kentucky. You might have had UConn. You know, if you're a diehard fan or just like the AAC or something like that. But I don't think anyone had Kentucky and UConn. So a 7-8, that's already combined the highest collective number, you know, seeding in a championship game. Some more stats that they're out there. Kentucky has the lowest margin of victory combined of their five wins of any team that's made the championship game. I think plus 18. And so, I mean, you're just, everything's on a buzzer. It's pretty much, you beat Kansas State pretty good, and then you hit a bunch of buzzer beaters. So, Very interesting. Tons of stats, but I think you've got to throw them all out the window. I mean, sure, you know, the stats, I was that low margin of victory. There's not been a team that's had, I think SportsCenter had it. I don't think there's been a team that has a margin of combined margin of victory under 25 that's made the title game and then won. But I think you've got to throw a lot of those type of stats. I think this team, this Kentucky team, is rewriting the history books, so to speak, and the fact that they're not common, they're not natural. You know, this is a team that was expected to go 40-0, had a lot of hiccups, and now they're putting it back together for one reason or another. So, you know, sit here and say this stat, that stat, and I think you got to throw it out the window. I mean, these buzzer beaters, it's a good team. They're coming together, but it's the championship game. And I don't have any concern that they're going to freak out, or they might. I don't know. They're kids. But it just, I don't think you can say this Kentucky team is like X team or Y team, or they fit this mold. They've kind of broken the mold, for better or for worse.
Yeah, you know, both of these teams have had an improbable journey to this championship game. When you think about UConn, here's a team that kind of got the rug pulled out from them a year or so ago. Just the entire UConn athletic department, with the Big East, you know, losing a lot of the teams, and now the Big East is just the Catholic schools. UConn kind of getting left out in the cold there. They were really hoping to go to the ACC. Didn't happen. Louisville gets the nod instead. And I really kind of thought to myself, you know, here's UConn. Here's a team that's won three national titles since 1999. And now they've kind of been set adrift by this conference realignment phenomenon that's been going on the last few years. And I just kind of wondered, you know, can UConn maintain the excellence of their basketball program? I really didn't know if they were going to be able to pull it off or not, being in this new conference. You know, their old traditional rivalries are all gone, but I'm pretty sure they didn't make the tournament last year. But, you know, I think this is a huge statement for the UConn basketball program to get back to the championship game, being in the AAC. Jim Calhoun has to just be laughing his ass off at the NCAA. He hates that organization so much. So just an improbable run for UConn to get here. And then Kentucky, let me ask you this, Kenny. Has there ever – and I don't know if you'll know the answer to this off the top of your head or not. Has there ever been a team that was ranked preseason number one, then when the tournament started, not even in the top 25, but makes it to the championship game?
Well, I mean, I would have to say no, but I don't know that for certain. I mean, there's probably some qualifiers.
It's so crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it is. This run has been unreal. The fact that this team was unranked, they got an 8 seed. You know, we've talked about how bad of a seed that was. They got through a group of death. They beat a very talented Wisconsin team. It took a lot for me to say that, because I don't think highly of Wisconsin, the program or the bat. I know Bo Ryan's a good coach, but I just can't get behind the five white dudes who grind it out and, like, make you win a game in the 50s or the 60s. I don't like that basketball.
And Bo Ryan was a complete jerk at the post-game press conference. Last night, I might add.
Oh, of course he was. All these coaches, no matter, you know, how nice they are in the front end, let them lose an important basketball game, and you realize most coaches are jerks. Most coaches at any level are jerks. You kind of have to be a jerk. But, you know, whatever. He lost. Go home. Eat some cheese. Drink some beer. You'll be all right. Go get him next year, kid. It's been an improbable run. I know we've said that for the last 3 weeks, but it's been unreal. It'll be interesting to see. I hope we're back in the studio in a couple of days recording some crazy We've Won Number 9 championship show. And then it'll be nice a week or two from now to really, like, exhale and do kind of a post-mortem on this team, because they write books anytime Kentucky wins the national championship. But this book will really be – the book on this team, which I think should be written regardless, has to be interesting. I mean, I don't know that there's that – you know, any of those crazy locker room stories that are untold or anything like that. But just the ups and downs of this team. It will be, you know, 20 years from now when we're talking about Kentucky's teams that made title games or won titles. This team is going to be one of the most interesting ones. And I've seen a lot of talk about this team should have a name. This team should have a name. It's been that kind of season. And I don't know if they should have a name or not. That's not up to me. I don't get to make those decisions, unfortunately. But one name that I did hear put on this team, and it, you know, the Cardiac Cats, the Comeback Cats, all that, that's kind of all taken already. I did like Kenny Walker apparently told the Herald Leader that he thinks this should be called the Fightin' Five. I guess that's, you know, well, yeah. Kentucky has all their fives, and then you have the Fab Five of Michigan. I kind of like the Fightin' Five. I kind of like it. It's got a ring to it. I'd buy it. You know,
fits.
Put that on a T-shirt, and I might buy it. So, you know, it's one of those interesting things. One last thing. You know, we talked a lot last week about Dakari Johnson's quote on Aaron Harrison and how he's got big nuts. He can't even walk. I just want to say, usually when you have a player that's done as crazy things as Aaron Harrison's done with these buzzer beaters, or had a storied career, and I'm not saying he's deserving of this or that this would ever happen, because he's probably only going to stay 1 or 2 years. I think Aaron has played his way into the draft. I don't think we have Aaron Harrison next year. But if we do, 2 years at max, and you know, they retire the jersey. They hang a banner in Rupp, retire the jersey, blah, blah, blah. I don't think Harrison will get that just because of the tradition of the UK program. You kind of have to stay 4 years. But I think they should just take a picture of his crotch region. And I think they should retire his crotch. I'm just going to put it nicely. I think you should retire Aaron Harrison's crotch because, I mean, he's got brass down there. Yeah. It's ridiculous with these shots. I don't know how he gets the lift off the court, you know, to hit these shots because it is ridiculous.
Maybe they'll hang his jock strap up there with the banners.
Yeah, that's what you know, just a frontal shot of his shorts, I think, with the message you get across, you know. No jersey, just retire his shorts. We'll put it nicely. Retire Aaron Harrison's shorts. If you want to know what I really think about it, then come ask me personally. You know, they have family-friendly shows on Louisville.am. I'm not going to tell you the real thing I think they should retire, but you get the drift.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Chris, I think we've talked all we can. I think it's time to play the game. Anything else you want to add?
Well, I mean, tomorrow's going to be a long day. You know, I'm nervous right now just with that giddy anticipation of what's going to happen tomorrow night. I mean, it's been one hell of a run, and I kept saying the Louisville game made the season. The Louisville game made the season. But I'm telling you, I want that number 9 pretty bad.
It's within reach. I'll tell you that. It is when I wouldn't have said that 3 weeks ago, but it is in within reach, and we're going to see if this team's got one last good game left in the tank. That's all it's going to come down to. Everything that's happened to this point, I'm not going to say it won't matter because it'll matter. Anytime you make the championship game, it's kind of like 97. Anytime you make the title game, that team is remembered. But, you know, the cliche is that nothing happens. You know, nothing before this point matters. You know, play that one last game. You got one last game. So I say we end this the same way that we always do. You know, it's worked so far. Go Cats.
Go Cats.